The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barberdison Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barberdison Ford Elk City, only at barberdisonford.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We're back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. Our guest this morning is Pastor Jace Morrow, and his title is Emotional Support.
Yes.
And before you get back to it, we did have a praise report come in. Mandy said that they are free and clear of COVID at the nursing home now.
Oh, they're good. All negative. So that was making its way around there?
Yeah.
Again?
It went through again. Yeah.
Man.
But I don't think it was near as severe as the first time.
Is this like that new variant thing?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
There's been several.
Yeah,
it's turned into an endemic now, you know.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Not as deadly, but it's still contagious.
So. Yeah.
Praise God.
Well, yeah. Yeah, right. Yes, absolutely.
And
thank
also,
God.
Would you like to share about service times and things like that for your church?
No.
Okay.
Okay, I guess. Yeah. So I'm the youth pastor at First Baptist Cheyenne in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Not Wyoming. Good grief. What'd you put in my water? Cheyenne, Oklahoma. I did not drive 28 hours to do this morning.
I think it was your coffee.
Oh, it may have been the coffee. So it is Cheyenne, Oklahoma, which is right next door to Elk, where we're at right now. Right. So First Baptist Cheyenne, you know, we gather every single Sunday. Come for Sunday school. It starts from 9:50 to 10:45. And if you come before that, 9 to 9:45, we have a breakfast every single morning. Free. Don't need to do anything other than just show up with an empty stomach, ready to eat and feast. So from 9:45, show up on Sundays. We'll feed you and your entire family for free. And then Sunday school, 9:50 to 10:45. And then morning worship together, 10:50 to noon. So we would love to have you. We'd be honored to have you as our guest. And then we always have Sunday night. Sunday evenings is our discipleship. We always do discipleship training every single Sunday evening. So if you'd like to be a part of that, that's from 6 to 7. And so you just show up. We have a class every time the doors are open. We have a class for every single age group, from like babies to the oldest end of that. So there's always somewhere, someplace for you to get in, get involved, get discipled, worship the Lord together. Or if you're just needing a place around Cheyenne that you don't have somewhere, we would be honored to have you. Every Wednesday we have what's called Club Kick, which is from, that's like pre-K or kindergarten through sixth grade. And then you have youth group with me, which is seventh grade through 12th grade. And we would love to have you on Wednesdays from 5:30 to 7. So free meal then too. We like to eat. We're Baptists. What can I say?
That's where all the good food
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So that's our church.
Okay. Back to you, sir.
Okay. I blanked out, so I don't know where I left off at. Hard. I just went off. And so, no, that's okay. I needed that because I was, I don't know if it was a tangent or if just the Holy Spirit was leading on that. So, but where we were talking about, you know, Jeremiah, you know, as he was going through difficulty, waiting on the Lord, right, doesn't mean just sitting idly by, twiddling your thumbs, waiting for God to just change your situation, right? Waiting on the Lord looked different for Jeremiah. What he's trying to convey, that waiting on the Lord was you seeking him out through prayer, through worship, through listening and studying and meditating on his word and being around his people, the church, right? So that they can love on you, invest in you, encourage you, right? We find hope in God's help. So we're not waiting around just hoping God to change our situations and not seek him out, but rather through the difficulty and the lament is to latch on to God and seek him out so that by the time we get to the end of that difficult season, whatever that might be, not only has God changed the situation however he sees fit, but you are so much more stronger in your faith because you trusted God through those difficult moments. You are changed by mm-hmm. that, right? And so an unprecedented crisis can produce an unprecedented closeness with the Lord, right? So in Jeremiah's suffering, Jeremiah didn't distract himself with alcohol, sex, Netflix, even like any of that, or that's not how he dealt with his pain. We see this. He sat patiently in the presence of his God, and fasting from food, he feasted in the fellowship with the Lord. Right? He received the stinging lessons in the gentleness of God. Right? In the same process. Right? So he sat with the Lord to show his sorrow for the present, but yet hope for the future. So he sat with the Lord during his sorrow, his despair, his brokenheartedness, his anger. But yet in that same moment of brokenness and despair and hopelessness or defeat, he was still speaking about the hope that he had in the future because of who God is. And knowing God, you're so good. You're not going to let us just stay here in this despair, right? So, yeah, I say all of that recap that no matter the difficulty, the best thing we can do is take our seat at the Lord's feet. That's where we find clarity. That's where we find comfort and courage to keep going. And so one of the main ways God comforts us is also through his people, mm-hmm. right? When I say his people, I mean other Christians, other believers that make up the body of Christ, not isolation and putting yourself on an island, hoping that you just get through it on your own, because there's a reason why it's called an island. And a lot of people don't make it off of islands, right? Unless it's Hawaii, right? Or really something like that. But I mean, like Jeremiah, we still need to go directly to God during those situations and our difficulty. That needs to be our first instinct is to go to God and spend time alone in his presence. But we also need to go to our community of believers, share our challenges with trusted people, not just anybody and everybody that doesn't have your best interests at heart, but go to share your challenges and difficulties with trusted people and to receive the comfort and encouragement and counsel that you need from other people who are godly, who are following Christ, and that have your best interests mm-hmm. at heart, right? So that's why you've got to be picky about who you open up to, mm-hmm. not just anybody and everybody. It could be your BFF from, like, for the past 10, 15 years, and they can give you some pretty sour advice if it's just like, well, you should just go punch them in the face, and I'll fix it and stuff like that. I'm like, I didn't read that. That must have been in Second Hesitations or something. So I don't know where that book is. But anyways, we find comfort and counsel and encouragement, man, when we surround ourselves with people who also love the Lord and want to see his will worked out in your life mm-hmm. and want that for you, right? So suffering is too much to carry alone. It's too much to try to carry on your own and feel like you can handle it. because oftentimes that we get in those moments, we think I'm just tough enough. I've never needed anybody. I don't need anybody now. And yet that's why we're still utter train wrecks a few years later, because we never dealt with it properly and took it to the Lord and sought out help. So while at first it may feel uncomfortable to share your defeats, share your difficulties with trusted believers, but we will in the end receive comfort from that. And so I just want to encourage you that, man, if you're carrying a burden and a weight, you need to do something with that. One, turn to the Lord. Don't just sit by and just wait for God to do something and not put any effort in. During your difficulty, seek out the Lord in all ways that you can. Latch on to him. You don't have to do any of the heavy lifting and expect things to change, but wait for the Lord patiently for him to finally change and do something about it. And then by the end of it, if you've sought him out, your lament, you've latched on to him, you are going to be a better person on the end of that. You're going to be a deeper follower of Christ, who can also, in return, when someone else is going through a difficult season, you are going to be a blessing to somebody else as a part of God's community, to reach out to somebody that may be going through something just like you and go, hey, you know what? I know exactly what you're feeling, and I went through that. I know those emotions because I experienced in that. But during those emotions, this was my reminder about who God is. Because remember, a lament is you praying to God, sorrowful, angry, depressed, whatever it is, saying, God, this is how I best understand what's happening. This is how it's making me feel. But yet, God, this is what your word has said about you and what I choose to believe about you. So what a perfect way to transfer and take your anger, your depression, your anxiety, your defeats in life, and help somebody else navigate those through the Lord and go, I know that. I understand that. I know exactly what you're feeling. These were the promises of God that got me through. And I'm going to encourage you because I know where you need encouragement. And just go alongside people, right? That's just a beautiful picture of what the church is. And so I'm gonna read just a couple of more verses of Lamentations 3, and then I will land this plane. Lamentations 3, 31 through 33. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not afflict from his heart or grieve the children of men. So Jeremiah knew why his people were suffering, right? We talked about that earlier. It was their own doing, right? Mm-hmm. They had rejected God to serve idols, and they had ignored centuries, hundreds of years of warnings from God's prophets, including Jeremiah, that you are living wrong, repent, turn back to God, or judgment's coming. That they wouldn't, right? So Jeremiah could see that his people were just reaping the fruits of the seeds that they had sown themselves. So that's why part of it was so heartbroken. It's because Jeremiah was just heartbroken also for his own people of being ignorant and not wanting to follow the Lord. So they were just reaping the fruits of the seeds that they had sown. They had routinely rejected God, and now they are experiencing his rejection. But Jeremiah knew God, and he knew this judgment, like we've been saying, wouldn't last forever. That God in his goodness would not allow them to perish and waste away, right? Jeremiah took comfort in the fact that this was not an endless suffering, that redemption would come about and would soon overwhelm the rejection. So often in tragedy, I feel like most people, their first initial reaction, even as Christians and followers of the Lord, a lot of the first things that people ask during difficulty, they ask God, why? Like, why does this have to happen, God? Why this? Why that? Why? But sometimes seeking an answer to why actually won't help you get anywhere. It actually just adds more to the difficulty and strife, because there's really no easy answer to the why, right? I feel like asking why isn't the most helpful thing in that situation, because bottom line, we live in a complicated, sinful, broken world. Mm-hmm. And because of that reality, suffering and difficulties are alive and well, are abound, because we live in such a fallen, broken, difficult world. Suffering is going to happen. but that why would God let this happen kind of mentality is a very common question. But in many situations, there just isn't a simple answer that we can give one person that we can understand on this side of heaven. Like, there's things that we just don't have a true answer for on this side of heaven. And so if we can't have, and we as people, we like definite answers or solutions to our difficult, or to our problems. And so if we can't have a solidified answer to why, all it's going to do is add more frustration as to why. And we can't have that answer. So I really think asking why, when we can't have a solid answer, is the wrong target. It's the wrong question to ask. So perhaps more importantly than asking why, are the questions, are the questions that we should be, should do in suffering. Rather than maybe asking why, we should ask, okay, here's what's happened. Now, God, what should I do about it? Mm-hmm. Kind of a thing. Not of a why and throw up my hands and curse you, God, and shake my fist at him. And I'm like, dude, he's going to be the one that's going to carry you through this stuff. So instead of asking an endless question of why that we're not going to get on this side of heaven, asking, okay, God, what should I do about it? Mm-hmm. How do I proceed from here? What should I do about this? And like Jeremiah, we should go, what we should do is go to God. We've seen this entire time that we've looked at Jeremiah and what he's done. So we should be honest with God and be honest with God about our situation and about who God is. That's what we should do. We should seek his comfort in our pain rather than just wasting our energy of why. Okay, what should I do? Okay, I know what I should do. I'm going to go to God. I'm going to lament. I'm going to be sorrowful. I'm going to be angry. I'm going to be depressed. I'm going to be whatever it is. God, here's what's happened, and I hate it. God, this is how I feel about it. This is how it's hurting me. Yet, God, I have hope because of who you are, because of what your scripture has said about you, and I choose to hold on to that. I have lost literally everything, but I still have you, so therefore, I still have everything. And so, God, that's what I choose to hold on to. So despite the depths of the difficulties in the moment, Jeremiah knew God was too good to leave his people in that situation, right? So while God, yes, allowed the suffering because he told them for hundreds of years, so God said, fine, you want to live a life without me? I will step back. I will allow this to happen, right? And so, yes, overall, God allowed the suffering to happen, but here's the thing, he took no joy in it whatsoever. Like, God, that's what we see there at the end, that he didn't afflict from his heart or grieve the children of man, right? And so he didn't take any joy whatsoever in it, right? There is no suffering of humankind or human beings that brings joy to God. Like, God doesn't celebrate. I know we as people, sometimes we're wicked and hateful, and we, like, celebrate when people lose in life. Not, like, a loss of person, but we celebrate when they didn't get their way, like, when things go bad for them. We're like, good, right, yeah, that's what they get. They deserve that, right? We're wicked in that way. God doesn't celebrate for our difficulty and our strife, right? He doesn't celebrate in that type of way. There's no joy in that. And I think the reason being that is because our Heavenly Father is the source of good and perfect gifts. He is loving, and he wants to bless, nurture, and give life to us, right? And so Jeremiah declared that God would show compassion, deep love. He would show mercy, tender affection to his people in their suffering. And God had every intention of doing exactly that, tenderly comforting, healing, and restoring his people. And here's the beautiful thing. Not long after Jeremiah prayed this lament, God did exactly that. God ended the suffering. God brought about restoration and redemption and healing. And so I say all that is, like, it's the same way for us as well, that God brings about redemption for us. We will suffer. We will experience pain. And sometimes we're the cause of it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're not. Sometimes it's difficulty that's been put on us from other people's bad decisions or whatever it may be, right? But we in this world, we are going to suffer. We're going to have difficulty. We're going to have pain. Sometimes we're the cause of it. Sometimes we're not. But here's the thing that I know to be true, and I'll end on this. In every difficulty, we must lament and latch onto the Lord and refuse to let go. Mm-hmm. He will comfort us. He will heal us. He will use us to bring his comfort and healing to many other precious people in suffering as well. And I think when we think about our suffering and our difficulty, it doesn't have to be this end-all, be-all kind of a thing. It doesn't have to be like what we said at the very beginning. If we're not careful, we'll build a house around that type of emotion and be that type of a person and just be like, that's just my life. I'm just a depressed person. You're just going to have to deal with it. Or my life is built on anxiety, so therefore every decision I make as a person here on forth is going to be based out of what anxiety is going to be there rather than who the Lord has made me to be, right? And I hate that. I want to smash that house that I may have built for myself and not operate out of fear or operate out of anger, or operate out of anxiety or depression or those things, because that's not who God ultimately wanted me to be long term. It's okay that those are our emotions. Those are our maybe we're not our initial response to situations. We can't help. But we are responsible, and I think we can have a part in how we choose to respond after that and not stay there and just stay in the pit of our own pity, but rather do exactly of what Jeremiah has laid out for his people. Lament. Latch on to God in those moments and be honest with God. God, this is what I've done. This is what's happened. Here's what I'm mad about. Here's what I'm angry about. And I don't, in the best of my understanding, this is why. But I say all that to say this, God, even in all of that, I latch myself to you because I'm reminded of the hope that I have in Jesus, that there will be a day where my suffering will come to an end, that God, you are greater than anything that I could ever lose in this world, whatever. God, I'm reminded of your goodness and your faithfulness, and I know that you are good enough that, God, you won't allow me to stay here in the pittiness, in the pit, in the suffering, and not bring about healing and restoration and redemption, whatever that might look like. So, God, I hold on to you. And, God, through my difficult season, I'm not going to sit here and twiddle my thumbs praying you change it and snap your fingers, but rather I'm going to wait on you because I know eventually you will bring about a change or something in the situation. But in the meantime, I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to wait on you to change it, but I'm going to continue to grow with you. I'm going to seek you out in your word, and learn about who you are, learn your heart, learn your characteristics, and who you truly are as God. I'm going to allow you to use my pain to bring about a better person at the end of this, because there are yet again things that you can't understand and learn about God until maybe you go through some difficulty in trusting him. So difficulty is going to happen. Emotions are okay to have, but we need to go to the Lord with those. And it's not scary. It's not bad to go to him when you're angry or sad or depressed, like some people think it is.
Right.
I mean, he's the creator of emotions. We are made in his likeness. That's why we have emotion, is because he has emotions. And so it makes most sense to me to not put myself on an island, but rather turn to the one who created emotions, who best understands them, and allow him to have that and do something purposeful with them rather than just beat myself up with my anxiety or whatever that might be for anybody. So turn to the Lord, latch onto him, allow him to use that process, those moments, and then be a blessing to someone else on the other side with it when you've learned from it.
That's a good word. I love how the Old Testament just kind of shows us. I've heard the phrase, there's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
When you go back, you see a lot of the same things going on today that were going
absolutely.
On back then.
Yeah.
There really is nothing new.
That's what, whenever we go, we went through the whole book of Jeremiah with my youth group, and you can't help but get kind of mad at the kingdom of Judah, or like God's people, like, you bunch of, y'all are morons. Stop worshiping these idols. Mm-hmm. Like, you stupid idiots. Like, just worship God. What do you got? Oh.
Wait a minute.
Sports.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Boyfriend, girlfriend. Oh, anything.
Like, yeah.
Okay, maybe we relate to a lot of these stories in the worst way possible. We relate to the, we saw it out. We're like, oh, we're more like the kingdom of Judah than we think we were.
Exactly.
Ouch. Okay.
Right?
So, though, there's a lot on it.
That's true.
Good morning.
Monica's here.
I felt led to come by. I just left a viewing of a dear friend. And I want to share something with y'all today. This friend of mine and I are both Christians. However, we have a few different beliefs about things. And I allowed those differences to divide us. I haven't seen or really spoken to this friend in 2 years. And now she's in heaven. Instead of clinging to the one thing that mattered, being a Christian, believing in Jesus, being a Christian and believing in Jesus, we looked at everything else. And I allowed it to divide me from my friend. Instead of clinging to the one thing that we did agree on and moving for the kingdom of God, I want to encourage you today, if you have allowed differences to divide you, please, for the love of God, for the kingdom of God, please look past the differences and look at the things that are most important. Mm-hmm. The love of God, the love of one another, and our Lord, our Savior, and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, our Messiah.
Amen, Monica. I think we, as Christians, sometimes also we talk more about the things we don't agree with than the things we do. That's what I love about this program.
Yeah.
We have people of all different denominations that can come in here, but when we crack the word open, we all agree what it says usually. Mm. For the most part.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, there's firsthand things, and then there's secondhand issues, and a lot of times we focus on the secondary issues. But if we agree on the first thing.
Love
you,
Monica. So. Well, we really appreciate you coming to share this morning.
Thanks love
you, Monica.
Come by.
I really enjoy you're a good storyteller and you bring it to life, so I really enjoy listening.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah.
And I really enjoy actually being in here with everyone too. It's a whole nother level.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Actually being in the
yeah,
room
that's
than
it.
Just listening.
You're
so
right.
it's been fun. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, and I'm gonna say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Tina Dobbs, and from Pastor Jason Morrow, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time. And I also would like to remind you, Monday will be a holiday, so we will not be here Monday, so we will see you Tuesday.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.